Well, in 1981, there was a famous movie that came out, an award-winning movie, and I'll give you a hint what that was. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Can you guess? Do-do-do-do-do. Very good. Chariots of Fire. How many saw Chariots of Fire? Come on, come on. Some of you did. Okay. If not, a real good movie. But the movie was based on an Olympic runner named Eric Little. I know it looks like it's Liddell, but I believe it's Eric Little. And though every detail of the movie was not accurate, one thing the movie did right, or they got right, was that they portrayed Eric's faith as very important to him. So much so that he was actually willing to forgo an Olympic race because it was being held on a Sunday, and his convictions were, no, I'm not going to do it on that day. Amazing when you think about it. And they got that right in Eric, as we look at Eric's life. And not only would he have convictions about that, but he would go on about a year later and spend the next 20 years in China serving God as a missionary in a very difficult period in China's history. And Eric would eventually die at the age of 43 of a brain tumor there serving the Lord in China. I'd recommend you watch the movie and learn about his life, but you may be asking, what does all this have to do with today's sermon, Chariots of Fire and Eric Little? Well, I have a book that was on my shelf for quite a while. I've actually had this book. I opened it up, and I was given this book back in 87. Some of you young people may like that. That's 1987, by the way. Somebody, strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. That's a good song. But anyway, this was given to me by a friend when I was in college, and a friend who really helped me walk closer with the Lord. And so I pulled it off the shelf a couple months ago, blew the dust off it, and I began to go through it again because it's about a lot of the basic foundations of the Christian life. It's titled The Disciplines of the Christian Life, and it's by Eric Little. And I shared some of the thoughts a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, if you were there. And so what I want to do over the next 4 weeks is just take some of his thoughts and expound on them. And these thoughts mainly deal with prayer, mainly deal with our quiet moments that we have with the Lord. And we want to look at that. Now, I realize that for most of you, many of the things I share are going to be, you know, basic Christianity 101. But for others of you, maybe this is something new to you and you've never considered before. So my prayer, as I think about each of you this week and today, is that if you can say, you know what, my walk is really strong today, that is great. Praise God. I pray that it would get even stronger as you hear these messages. If you're at a place where you say, you know, I've been walking with the Lord for a long time, but you know, I feel like I'm in a rut, or I just feel like I'm going through a dry season in my life, I pray that God would use these messages to revitalize your walk with Jesus. And if you're here today and you don't have any spiritual disciplines at all in your life, you're just kind of wading through your walk, I pray that you pick up a pen and take a lot of notes today and write down things and leave here and begin to apply these things to your own life. Well, let's look at the title of today's message is 4 B's of the Christian Life. And so over the next 4 weeks, hopefully we'll get through it in 4 weeks. I can't guarantee it, but that's my goal. Is the first B, or I'll tell you the 4 B's actually. It is be still, be in the Word, be ready, and be active. And again, all these B's have to do with the context of our prayer time, our quiet time with the Lord. And each message is going to kind of be tied to each other. So if you happen to be away and miss a week, please go on the church website and you can listen to the message and get caught up if you miss one. But today, the first B we want to talk about is be still. Or you could say be silent. Just be still. That may sound a bit strange for many of us, because when we maybe think about our time with the Lord, what do? We often spend time reading, and maybe you even read your Bible out loud. And when you pray, you're talking to the Lord, and maybe you even do that out loud. And so there may be a lot of noise in the time that you spend with the Lord. And for many of us, silence can be kind of awkward. Even just 30 seconds of silence, we may feel like we need to hear a noise or doing something or saying something or taking something in. But actually, silence is a great asset. It's a great value to take into our lives when we consider it spiritually. Listen to what Eric says about being silent. He says, in the beginning of the prayer period, be silent. Allow your mind to relax and to roam across your life. If it stops at anything wrong, determine in God's strength that you will write it. Make sure that you do write it. What Eric is really getting at here is what we may call examination. It's a time where we look within our own hearts. It's what David prayed in Psalm 139 when he said, "Oh Lord, would you search me? Would you test me? Would you know my anxious thoughts? Would you see if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting?" This whole idea where we just be silent and we allow God to search our hearts and find out what's in there. Many of us have learned how to pray by using the word ACTS. How many of you have ever heard of ACTS before? And each letter stands for a word. A stands for adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, and S, supplication. That's a great model to follow. If you don't know how to pray and you're like, where do I start? Take that word ACTS and pray in those four areas. It's a great way to pray. Other people look at the Lord's Prayer, or really what Jesus taught the disciples, how he taught them to pray. Remember what he said? Our Father, what, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And there, Jesus started that prayer also with adoration, with praise, and with exalting God. And certainly that is a good thing to do, to begin with praise. But I would suggest that even before we get to praise, we try to be silent before the Lord. And just ask ourselves, as we think about yesterday or maybe the day before or the past week, ask ourselves this question: God, has there been anything in my life, any attitudes, any actions that I have done that have fallen short of the glory of God, that have fallen short of your standard, of what your word says? Ask God to look within. And what do you see? What do you find there? And as we begin to think about our own sins and our own shortcomings, I believe it quickly leads us to praise and adoration. Why is that? What did we just sing today? When I remember what you've done, I can't help but what? Worship you. Because when we begin to think about our own sin, what did Jesus do for our sins? He died for them all, right? His blood covers all of our sins. So we're reminded of what the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So even though, yes, we begin to think about those sins, we're quickly led to the cross and we praise God for his grace and his mercy and the blood of Jesus. You see, as we sit quietly and examine our own hearts, I believe we're actually praying, "Hallowed be your name." Why? Because when we say, "Lord, hallowed be your name," what we're saying is, "God, you are holy. Now manifest your holiness to this world. Manifest your holiness to me." And so as we begin to look at our own lives and we see things that are unholy, what do? We begin to turn back to Jesus, to trust in Jesus, to give us the strength to live holy lives. And so God can manifest his holiness through me and through you as we spend time examining our own hearts. Let me ask you this question: why is this confession time or examining time so important? Because if we're saved and we're already forgiven of everything, then we may think, why bother going back to yesterday, right? Doesn't the Bible say just press forward, don't look back. Don't think about the sins of yesterday. Won't that bog me down? Won't that get me depressed if I think about my failings of yesterday? The answer is no. Not if we just think about them. If we dwell on them for a long, long time, then yes, that could drag us down. But to think about them is a good thing. And I want to give you four reasons, or really four results of examination and confession today. Number one is sincerity. True confession brings about a sense of sincerity of heart. Taking an honest look at what's going on in my heart and what has gone on in my heart and in my mind helps to keep me honest before God, before myself, and before a watching world. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "What our hearts are desperately wicked, they are deceitful above all things. Who can know it?" Our hearts have the ability to deceive ourselves. Our hearts, if we're not careful, can lead us into a state of hypocrisy. Long ago, that word hypocrisy stood for a stage actor. How many of you have ever been in a school play before? Anybody? Donna, they had school plays way back then, huh? Yeah, they did. And if you were given, I'm just kidding, you were given a script, and I'm sure you had to learn to play the part of somebody else. Wasn't you? You were pretending. You were trying to be somebody else. This is the idea of that word hypocrite. What did Jesus say to the scribes and the Pharisees of his day? "You hypocrites." Why? Because they were simply playing the part of being religious. They looked really good on the outside. The world looked at them and said, "What a bunch of pious, upstanding men we have before us." But Jesus could see right into their hearts. And what did he see? He saw greed. He saw pride. He saw selfishness. And he said, "You guys are hypocrites. You are not truly religious." What does the Bible say about true religion? True religion is this, that you look after widows and orphans in their distress, and you keep yourself from being polluted by the world, by the world's greed, by the world's pride, by the world's selfishness. That's how we keep from being hypocrites. One way to keep worldly pollution out of our lives is to examine continually our own hearts and to take inventory, to take stock of what's going on. How many of you have ever had a job where you had to take inventory? Isn't that fun? Maybe change of pace, maybe a little lighter for the day. I'm sure all you brags, right, working at Ace Hardware, right, you've had to take inventory, right? What is the purpose of inventory? You want to know the truth, right? You want to know what's really there. Dan says there's 29 cans of bee spray on the shelf, but you go and count them and you find there's 23, right, cans. You want to find what's really there. You want to find truth. An examination in our own hearts and true confession causes us to be sincere, or to bring about truth. This is what David prayed in Psalm 51. "God, you desire truth in the inner parts." You don't want hypocrisy there. You want me to say, "It is what it is. That's what it is. God, this is the attitudes I've had toward this person. God, these are the things that I have said about this person. It is what it is. Here it is, God. This is my stuff, and I'm confessing it to you." Examination can bring about truth and sincerity in our hearts. The second result of confession is a lightness, a lightness. I'm talking about not a physical lightness, but a spiritual lightness. What do I mean? Well, the truth is there will be a heaviness to our walk if we don't acknowledge our specific sins before God. And let me stress that word specific, because it's very easy for us to do, and I am very guilty of this, of just saying, "Yeah, Lord, you know I sinned yesterday. But would you just, I know you'll forgive, would you just forgive me for those sins? As opposed to calling them out for what they are, calling them specifically before God. If we don't consider our specific sins and how they trip us up, you know what's likely to happen? We will continue in those sins day after day after day if we don't acknowledge them before the Lord. If we simply gloss over our sins by saying, oh Lord, you know I sinned yesterday. Would you just forgive me for all them dear sins that I did? But instead, we ought to sit still and allow God to reveal specific sins. Because when he reveals specific sins, we're forced to deal with them before God. And we're also forced to call out to God to help us to overcome those sins that we trip up over and over again. Listen to what David says in Psalm chapter 32. Psalm 32, 2 through 5. David says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. A few weeks ago, we had some seriously hot weather. Remember that? I know it seemed like a long...
Yeah.
Oh, it was hot. How hot was it, Johnny?
90.
That's right. 90 plus. For how many days in a row? I don't know, but it was a long stretch, longer than we're used to. How many of you felt sapped? Can you say you felt sapped during some of those days? Yeah, you just felt dried up and lifeless. This is the picture that David paints. When we don't acknowledge our sin before God, there can be this heaviness, this dryness that comes to our souls when we don't acknowledge our sin and confess our sin and have this period of examination before the Lord. Now let me just add that at times, simply hardships and trials in life will cause a weariness, a heaviness, a sappiness in our lives. That can happen. But we never want sin to be the main cause of our sappiness. So let me ask you, do you feel sapped today? Do you feel weighted down because of ongoing sin in your life? Jesus said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll do what? I'll give you rest for your souls. Why? Because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And not only in the context of salvation do we run to Christ so that he can remove our burdens, but on a day-by-day basis, we need to go to Jesus who can lighten our load when we become wearied by sin, when we become weighed down by sin. The third area I want to look at today is this: confession can bring about boldness. 1 John 3:21 says this. John says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. We went through this verse a few months ago, but when you think about this verse, a clear conscience or having a heart that's not condemning us is a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, Paul once said that even if my conscience is clear, that does not mean that I am innocent before God. What did he mean? Well, just because I'm confessing everything I know about and there's nothing that's on my mind that is wrong and it's all clear before God, there may be things in my life that I'm just not aware of yet that are sins and I haven't been revealed yet. But either way, a clear conscience is a good thing. Think about it. When our conscience is condemning us because of a certain sin that maybe we're not dealing with or we're just kind of sweeping under the rug, how boldly do we go to the throne of grace? Probably not very boldly. Or perhaps we don't go at all when we're not dealing with our sin. But if we can, quote, air out all our dirty laundry before the Lord and say, God, these are the things you revealed to me. Here it is, Lord. This is my stuff. Forgive me for my stuff and help me to turn away from my stuff. Help me not to go back to the stuff. Help me despise the stuff. Then God can help us have boldness in approaching his throne. The fourth thing I want to look at today is that confession can bring about a dependence upon God. One of the great truths that we see in the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet is the lesson of dependence upon him. And I want to turn to that this morning. If you'd look at John chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 2 through 11. And certainly the main truth of this story, the main point that Jesus was teaching, was that we need to simply imitate Jesus. We need to imitate his humility and his servant's heart. That's the main point. But there's another neat little truth that I think we can get out of this, a parallel that we can see about depending upon Jesus. Again, John 13, beginning in verse 2, says the evening meal was being served and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, not everyone was clean. Jesus made it clear that not everyone was clean. And of course, the person he was referring to there was Judas Iscariot. You see, all 12 men were sinners, but only 11 were cleansed through faith in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, again, not all of you are really clean. One of you is not clean. And one parallel or analogy that I think we can draw out of this is that we still need to go to Jesus to get our feet washed as believers. We still need to depend on him each and every day. How so? Because as we walk in this polluted, sinful world, our feet get muddy every single day. We can take on the attitudes and the actions of this world without even thinking about it. And so every day we need to go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, my feet are muddy again. Would you wash my feet? They need to be cleansed. Yes, I know I've had a bath. I'm clean. I'm forgiven. But would you just wash my feet again, Lord? Because as I think about my life, as I think about maybe something I did yesterday, what I said to Joe, I shouldn't have said, Lord, would you forgive me? God, that quiet attitude I had about this person, and be specific, name the person that you had the bad thoughts about. God, would you wash my feet? God, that obscene joke that I passed on at work or maybe passed on Facebook nowadays, right? Would you forgive me for that? God, the obscene words that came out of my mouth, or maybe that I typed on my computer and passed on, God, would you forgive that? Because my feet are muddy again today when I think about my life and I think about the sins of yesterday. Jesus, would you wash my feet once again, Jesus, I need to depend on you to live this thing called the Christian life. And Jesus, you can help me. You can help me do it. Well, how about you? Are you depending upon Christ each day? Humble confession. An examination can lead to a greater dependence upon Christ. Well, as we close today, I want to close by just asking this question to each of you, and that is this: do you have a regular time where you meet with the Lord every day? Could be in the morning, could be in the afternoon, could be at night. We see as we read the word that Jesus would often go off early in the morning to a solitary place and he would pray. No matter how busy his life got, he made sure that he got away to be with the Father. Is that a discipline in your life? Is that a regular part of your life? And let me just say this, it may not be easy to establish this discipline. You may have to change some things in your life. You may have to cut some things out of your life. You may have to reprioritize a bit. But if you can say today, you know what, I love the Lord, then your desire ought to be that you want to spend time with the one that you love, with the Lord. So make that time. And as you spend that time, make silence a part of that time where you just allow God to do some talking, God to do some revealing, some examination and some confession. Well, perhaps today there's one or two of you here today who have never made the ultimate confession. And the confession I'm talking about is the confession that we make with our lips and right here from the bottom of our hearts. Jesus, you are Lord. You're Lord of my life. Jesus, I am a sinner and I am lost without you. Jesus, I believe what you did on the cross, that you died for my sins, that you took them all. You bore my punishment. The wrath of God was placed upon you in my place, and you bore that for me, and you rose again on the third day to show that you are victorious over sin and over hell and over death itself. And Jesus, I believe you. Have you made that confession? If not, then let today be the day. Right in this moment, confess with your mouth and with your heart, Jesus, you are Lord, and I believe you are Lord in my life, and I believe what you did for me. And Jesus, come into my life. Change me. Make me a new creation today. If you have never done that, then the Bible says that one day you will stand before Christ as the judge, and you will have to give an account of every single solitary sin in your life. There'll be a day of inventory, if you will, as God looks at you and begins to recount all of your sins. And I can't imagine standing there before Christ and him judging me for all of my sins that I've done throughout all my life, because I'd be in sorry shape. How much better to stand before Jesus, the sweet Savior, the Jesus who said, I've forgiven you and I've died for you, than to stand before Jesus, the judge of your life. Again, if you have not committed your heart to Christ, then do so today. Don't wait another moment. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who senses the nudge of your Spirit upon their hearts, who has never bowed their knee to the Lord Jesus, that they would, in this holy moment, call out to you for mercy. That in their hearts that they would say, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Yes, Jesus, I need you. I'm lost without you. Jesus, be my Savior. Oh God, that you would do that in their hearts and they would call out to you. And God, for those of us who claim you and know you already, Father, help us to slow down. Our lives are so busy, we often fail to just look at our own sins and call them what they are. Father, help us to make time to be with you, to just sit in quiet reflection, to take a look at our sins and to call them what they are, and then to turn from those sins. Lord, give us a heart that would despise our sins, a yearning for holiness in our lives. Lord, fill us with that desire to be holy because you are holy. And God, this only comes from you, so we're asking today for this. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.